Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So normally we talk about My Crazy Office, but today, given the holiday, we are going to talk about My Crazy Thanksgiving.
I love that. Yes.
Very similar.
Yeah, we were talking about this morning, right, Kathy?
That's correct.
About how in Working With You Is Killing Me, we talk all about the roles people play at work, hero, peacemaker, that kind of thing, and then it's fine to play a role, but you can get stuck in them at work. And then we were talking about, well, Thanksgiving, certainly, family functions, those roles come out in full force, don't they?
Well, I mean, we used to say sometimes that Thanksgiving dinner was like a really bad staff meeting.
Or bad staff meetings are like Thanksgiving dinner.
Right. Like Thanksgiving dinners, I mean, you know, they always sound like they're going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
And everybody's excited about the food. But, you know, there's a lot of acting out. There's a lot of stuff that goes on among the family.
It's the people.
It's always the people. You know, and a little alcohol with people.
Yeah,
and
or sugar,
turkey,
caffeine.
Right, all the food. It's a little acting out that goes on.
Yes, there are many opportunities for that, I think.
So what I find interesting is that we get stuck in these roles, not just at work, but in our family.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you go to visit somebody else's Thanksgiving, you see people get activated, and you don't really see what happened because it's not current. It's sort of a historical perspective that they have of each other.
Yes.
It's not what's actually going on in that moment. So that's what we talk about in our favorite book, Working With You Is Killing Me.
Yes. Well, we won't tell the other books that it's our favorite.
Well, you know what I mean by that.
You like your children, and you can't pick favorites. You love them all equally.
That's right. Well, Working With You Is Killing Me is kind of the hero book.
It is my favorite, although I love my other children.
Yes.
I love them equally.
Yeah.
I just like the success that Working With You Is Killing Me. Also, it lays out the work. Like, I think you have to read that before you read the others.
Yes, and I think it has these fun things like roles.
So how many roles do we have in that book? I forgot.
Seven.
I haven't read it in a while. Seven.
It's my favorite, but what is it about again?
Yeah, I forget. I used to know by heart.
We have seven roles.
Okay, so let's start with one of them, the hero. Let's start with the hero role because some people are going to relate to that.
Kind of.
Anyway, not totally. So let me just see if I can remember here. So the heroes, they're the ones that are the first ones to arrive.
Yes.
And the last ones to leave at work, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that everybody goes to for everything.
Yeah.
They're the go-to person.
Yeah.
They shoulder the bulk of responsibility for getting things done.
Yeah.
And I think everybody thinks they're the owner of a company.
Yeah, or the president. They mistake them usually
right,
for one
because
or the
they're
other.
So overly competent.
Right.
So what's going to happen at Thanksgiving to the hero? The family counts on them.
My guess is that the hero is going to be the one who's automatically expected to host Thanksgiving, make all the meals, clean up Thanksgiving, pick up the relatives from the airport, and provide housing for anyone who has nowhere else to stay.
Oh my God, this person works. That's right.
So much. And that's so stressful.
I bet they're also taking emergency calls at
that's
work,
right.
Right? If there's an emergency, they're running out and taking care of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
They are.
So they're always looking at their phone, right? So, yeah. But
yeah.
So these people, so even if they want to take vacations or they don't want to be known as the hero in the family just automatically does that.
They just assume that's
right.
going to happen. Now, if you don't want to be the hero, that's a whole different thing. You have to sort of...
You have to break the habit.
You have to take off the cape, as we say.
Oh.
You have to not be the super person. Like, you'd have to say no, which is the
right.
word that heroes don't like to say.
Well, and the people around them don't like hearing it.
No.
They want them to go back.
They're very disappointed.
You're so funny. Ha ha. Then they go on. And
that's right.
Right, right.
Pick me up at 7:45 at LGA.
Exactly.
Right. They probably, manipulate them and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, if you are the hero, thank goodness you're making dinner. We'll be right over.
We appreciate you. Exactly.
All right, so let me see. Let me if I can remember. Oh, we have the peacemaker. Oh, yes. Catherine, that's yes. you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so go on, explain.
So peacemakers like peace. They love finding the common strands between people. They want to make sure everyone's happy and getting along. You can find common ground, even if it's that everyone likes cheese or, you know, salt. And so that's what they're busy doing, is just building consensus, smoothing any ruffled feathers. Mm-hmm. So Thanksgiving for peacemakers is a lot of work.
I bet. Well, what are you busy doing there, Catherine?
Well, the first thing you're doing is you're greeting everybody, making sure they feel at home and they're okay and that they don't feel like an outsider and that, you know. And then the second thing is that you've got your hyper-vigilant waiting for the first altercation to erupt that you think you're going to have to come in and try to resolve or try to, you know, make the peace.
Yeah. So is that what it's like for you?
It has been on occasion. I mean, I've worked very hard to detach is one of our favorite terms.
But I have a little bit of this.
Yeah. I think it's in a lot of people. I mean, caring people.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Logan?
You're right. Yeah.
Oh, you should see Logan's face. He's totally a peacemaker.
Totally a peacemaker.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I kind of get it. I mean, you know, some people actually like when the family gets really angry.
That's the rebel.
And starts throwing things around the room. Like so I know, I mean, there are people that instigate
then
that.
Then you're really relating in some cases.
Yeah,
right?
Then we're really a family. But I know, I kind of.
Oh, gosh. Remember what you did back in 1984?
Yeah, right. But I can kind of tell where the fights, you know, where they're going to be in the family, like who's going to activate who.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, especially if it's at your house, to see them at very different, like
that's
maybe they can't even see each other. Right? Is that what you do?
In front of the candelabra or something, or between the bouquet of flowers, you put them between. Yes, that is one thing you certainly can do. And the big thing is, at least in my vast experience as a peacemaker, is that the ones that tend to feel not properly listened to, I spend a lot of time trying to listen to them so that they don't start fights for no reason.
Right.
Just so to they feel go included.
Yes, just to and feel actually, the interesting point, that alcohol is a special quality during Thanksgiving, which makes a lot of work for peacemakers.
It just goes against the grain.
Especially, well, and then in Irish, I mean, Irish families are famous for fighting and arguing. We like to do it, actually.
I think that's cross nationality, actually. I really
ethnic.
Well,
it's in Hispanic as well, just in case you're wondering.
Yeah,
that's right.
I think that a lot of nationalities would claim that as their drug of choice for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so if you're a peacemaker, you know, peace be with you. We really encourage you to.
And with you.
And with you. We encourage you to take some Xanax before the holiday. That might help.
And just
nerves.
Chill and let be.
Let it be. Well, in let some ways, you can let it be, because the next person we're going to talk about is the rebel, right?
We could.
Yeah. The rebel is the one who, at work, likes to say what no one else is willing to say at staff meetings.
Yeah.
They're like the truth teller.
Yeah.
And they always offer the alternative or the contrary point of view. You know, they're the ones that tell you everything's outdated and we're totally off the mark here and we need to wake up. So at Thanksgiving dinners, as you can imagine,
they're the worst. Every family has one, right?
Well, they're the spice in the stuffing of Thanksgiving turkey,
right.
I think. Yes.
Right.
And they often will arrive with an uninvited guest.
Oh, my God. Right. Maybe somebody they met 15 minutes before it on Tinder.
Yeah, exactly. They like to start inflammatory conversations, usually about politics, sex, religion, whatever will get everyone going. And they often leave Thanksgiving dinner early.
They don't say, what, they get thrown out?
Either they get thrown out or they say, you know, I've had enough of this boring stuff, or they've got friends to meet at a bar.
They have another thing going on.
Yeah, they got some other, they got
right,
their
they plan.
Friend.
They plan to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that every family has one of these and they probably don't get invited every year, right?
Like, well, that can be hard if you're a rebel because part of being a rebel is you need to have places to come in and reject. You know what I mean? Like you need to rebel against something.
Uh-huh. Oh my God. I hope I have no one coming
They can be very, actually, this is what's interesting is if you just embrace the rebel, they can be very entertaining.
Well, I think that said well from a peacemaker. I don't know that I
what
would
should
agree
we do?
With that.
How would we entertain a rebel though? What could you, what suggestions?
Yeah, well, alcohol probably does
alcohol
not work, right? Does it? Maybe something else?
Now, the big thing about rebels is they want to be heard. You know,
so they just get a karaoke machine.
Yeah.
just let them go.
And play that, bad to the bone.
Exactly.
I think in some respects, yeah, it is just let them go. But chances are they're going to find someone that they tick off, and it'll be exciting. See them as the spice to your Thanksgiving.
I think other people that have an issue with them, once they have a little alcohol in them, then the rebel is like, what did you say? You know, like, and then it just starts going. It's probably a historical conversation that happens year after year after year.
Yes.
And it could be about ice chips. Like, it doesn't even have to be about anything, right? That's what I
absolutely
see about stuck
in minimal.
Right. Things. And this is tough if you're a rebel who's trying not to be rebellious, because as you say, certain people may just see you as that. They pin it on you.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to go to the next one that I really relate to.
Yes, Kathy.
The entertainer.
So entertaining. Yes.
Yes. The entertainer. So at work, you know, it's a really good, it's good until it holds you back, but the entertainer is the one who breaks the tension in every meeting.
Yeah.
And they're really good at it. It's not like they crack a joke like, you know, a comedian, but they're just really good. They insert a tension breaker just at the perfect moment. So everybody likes somebody like this. They don't necessarily take them seriously all the time, but an entertainer, you know, is good in the office. So at Thanksgiving, I think this person, I'm going to speak for myself, this carries a really heavy load.
Yeah, you're almost
like
as busy
working
as the peacemaker.
I'm like, on the job.
Clocking.
Acting weird, right? Who's acting weird? Because I'm going to have to, like, you know, work over that to get the crowd in place where I need them all, so everybody's having a nice time.
Yeah, especially if it's a tense group, right?
Then it's really always something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I should take that back. I mean, sometimes people, you know, some of our dinner parties and some of our Thanksgiving, you know, I try not to invite troublemakers. But, you never know, though.
Yeah.
You just never know.
Yeah.
But I still feel as the entertainer to keep the energy very high and light and fun.
It's a heavy load.
It's a heavy load. It's a big job.
It's not funny.
It's not for me. And everybody looks to me to do that.
Yes.
That's the job of
the entertainer.
They expect that, right.
So you have a very humorous group in your home as well. So you could have some help, right, with David or Nicole.
Yeah, but you know, if somebody gets ticked off, they're no help. So it all depends.
They hide. They won't.
Well, they're pissed off and they want to leave, or you know, they get busy doing something else. They're not. I mean, this is absolutely a role that I'm. You know, I mean, I know how to get out of it now as a grown up, but early in life, I really didn't know how to do anything but this.
Yeah.
At the dinner table. Anyway.
All right. So then we get the next one, which I think everyone here has a little bit of the caregiver.
Not everyone has it.
And these are people who are your natural, they're the unpaid therapists and social workers in the workplace. They naturally take care of their colleagues' needs, emotional and physical. They usually have stashes of food and candy and tissues and Hallmark cards. They know everyone's birthday and anniversary.
Yeah.
And they know who's got problems. So at Thanksgiving, you are very busy.
Oh, yeah. Also very, very busy. Yeah.
You're probably in the kitchen cooking and you're counseling at the same time.
You're giving free therapy while you're cooking.
Someone's leaning against.
How did that go last night? Could you just stir the potatoes? Yeah.
Exactly. Someone's whispering about their marital problems in your ear as you're passing the stuffing. It's very, you're busy.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you relate to that, Logan?
I do a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I relate to that too. The part of it I don't like is when you've got a lot, you're entertaining. So if it's at my home and I have things to do and then somebody wants to take me in another room to tell me their latest issue.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting and I care, obviously, what your latest issue is, but I might have something in the oven.
I was going to say. I remember being holding a Thanksgiving where I had sweet potato souffle cooking and came to tell me about a health problem. I wanted to know, but I was thinking about the souffle at the same time.
Yeah, but if we're not, you know, all of us that have these, that are stuck in these roles, if we're not entertaining, we have more room, more time, right? To actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can.
And there's, you know, you can see there usually is someone who's in the bedroom holding somebody's hand.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can see they're right? They're like in that role.
Especially after enough alcohol.
Right,
someone's hurt someone else's feelings. Yes.
Yeah.
So what do we got next?
Oh, well, we have the martyr.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So at work, this person is always on call. They take on everyone else's responsibilities.
Yeah.
They feel that their value is connected to their suffering and their overwork on behalf of the company. You know those kinds of people?
You're supposed to see it, notice it, and tell them how wonderful they are.
Yeah. They've taken everyone else's work just so that they can suffer, and then they need you to see that.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, Thanksgiving is really exhausting for this person. I can't believe you like all these people are exhausted.
There's a lot of tired people here.
You all help each other out, but you're struggling in your own ways.
We need the entertainer to lift everyone's mood after this.
Okay, I'll
so
be
much.
Right over to everyone's house. So anyway, they're exhausted probably for Thanksgiving because they're the one that had to haul the 40-pound turkey. They made the pies. Yeah. They cleaned the house. They packaged the leftovers.
Yeah.
And they don't allow anyone to help them. This is the thing. Yeah. This is like, I'm such a martyr.
Martyrs drive me crazy.
Yeah, nobody likes them.
And then they complain about it for 15 minutes.
And nobody likes the martyr because of that. So get over it. Yeah. When they do take a moment to join the festivities, they're usually too tired and preoccupied.
That's right.
They're tough to take.
They're tough to take, but if you are a martyr, we feel for you because the truth is that you don't...
You feel for them. I don't feel
for
them.
As a caregiver.
No, because it is a heavy load and you don't have much fun. And the advice that I would give to a martyr is try to practice just once when people offer help to say yes. Just say yes.
Well, that would be the practice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one.
It is.
So all you martyrs out there?
Right. But to all you martyrs out there, one thing you should know is that people, I think, generally feel better when they help.
I agree.
So
people want to chip in. They want to be part of the fun.
Yeah.
So when you take it away from them.
Or get out of the fun.
That's true.
Can I do the dishes, please?
Yeah, really. Yeah. I always find the person that wants to do the dishes kind of interesting. Like, what? Oh, is it you? What?
Growing up, I was always doing the dishes.
Why?
Well. Because I didn't.
Is it because you wanted to leave?
I wanted to clean.
No, seriously.
Clean away the problems.
No, seriously. And you need to confess right
now.
We usually had
very dynamic conversations at the dinner place. And when I'd had enough of it, I went and did the dishes.
Yeah. See, I think usually the person that does the dishes has had enough. Because nobody really wants to go do the dishes. I think it is a form of an escape.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's not out of a choice. All right. And you love this one, the invisible.
I love the invisible one. Yeah. Because at work, they're quiet. They're hard workers. They take their responsibilities seriously. And no one really notices them. So if you're invisible, you usually keep to yourself. Your coworkers sometimes, like if there's an office party, they forget that they don't know you were there or at a meeting.
They didn't see you.
So, but invisible ones actually do quite well at Thanksgiving.
They do? Why is that?
Yeah, because basically they come in, they watch everyone else act out, they eat whatever they want, and then they go
like
home.
Do you go to another room? Because I think invisible.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Invisible people leave the room.
If I'm feeling like it's a little bit too much tension in there, I will leave the room for about 5 minutes and then come back.
Well, now that's actually, we should say one final thing, which is whoever you are, whatever role you're in, one thing we encourage is unhooking physically as much as you can during Thanksgiving holiday. And sometimes that's leaving the room. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's washing your hands. Sometimes it's taking a walk. Yep. Sometimes it's, doing the dishes. It's doing something physical to kind of soothe and calm down and reset your energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So next Thanksgiving, this Thanksgiving, or even, you know, other holiday dinners that you're going to have over the next 6 weeks, it's interesting to watch everybody and see that you have them stuck or they're stuck in roles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that people, you know, people really would love to break out of them. They don't
That's
always
right.
want to
see
stay
if you
in
can
that
free
role.
Yourself.
Right. Free yourself
or
and
friend.
Your friends and family from these confining roles.
Just stick to eating rolls at Thanksgiving.
Not too many. Have some. We wish you all a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's it. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. In the meantime, have a great My Crazy Thanksgiving and send your stories and your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.